Welcome to Inside Pop. I'm Sean David Johnson.
And I'm Amita Patel. For the past few weeks, it seems like every day we wake up or go to bed with the news of another story of violence and horror.
Sadly, gun violence, police brutality, and terrorism are nothing new. People of the world have been wrestling with senseless violence for centuries. And as technology advances, our ability to hurt other people increases, as well as our ability to record and distribute images of those atrocities.
The times feel dark and very strange. Honestly, it can feel a bit bizarre to sit down and record a podcast about entertainment while we also receive the news about innocent people being murdered each and every day.
But recording this podcast gives us a chance to take a break from the difficult news of the world, and it also allows us to focus on some positive things going on. And we hope listening to this podcast also provides that escape for you as well.
We'd like to devote this episode to discuss how artists in pop culture, actors, musicians, writers, and directors are commenting on the current crises, and in many cases, trying to affect change.
So, Amita, you and I have spoken about this a lot, especially recently, about recording a podcast while there's horrible news going on and wrestling with the fact that sometimes it feels superfluous, sometimes it feels disrespectful. That, you know, that's something that other podcasters probably experience as well.
Yeah, we experienced this just a few weeks ago. We were having a great time in Chicago at Podcast Movement. And while we were there, you know, the Philando Castile shooting happened, the Dallas shootings happened. And we had a conversation and I was just like, how do we do this? How can we do this when there's so much hate and loss of life in this world?
Yeah, and I think that you do have to ask the question, when you see so many actors and artists coming out, making statements, trying to affect change, so what can pop culture really do? And that's one of the first things that I'd love for us to talk about. What can pop culture actually do when there seems to be state-sanctioned murders? There are terrorist groups attacking in the strangest, most frightening ways. What can pop culture actually do? And one of the first things I thought about was, before you talk about the artists trying to affect change or bring awareness, I think in many cases, artists who write songs about that type of devastation, they're in a way just doing what it takes for them to stay sane. You know, if you're a musician, if you're someone who writes, that's how you're going to filter and deal with that stuff. And I think so many of the musicians who've released songs about the police shootings and the terrorist acts, etc., they're tapping into their creativity to help make sense of the world, I think maybe first and foremost for themselves.
Right. That, I mean, they are artists. That is their creative nerve and their instinct, I think. They write songs, they write lyrics, they write music, and that's how they express themselves. You know, self-expression is so important. And they are in a place where they can and have seen their music inspire others, inspire millions for some cases. And so part of it is, you know what, I want to get these feelings out, but I also feel like I could also share this and inspire other people with this message.
Yeah, and I think that's the next level. I like to think, one thing that I've thought about recently is, you know what, music does matter. Entertainment, pop culture does matter. And I think way back to, you know, the history of slave songs in this country, for example, when slaves were out in the field working, dealing with daily, hourly horror of their lives, of being owned and being persecuted, they sang. And I think for many of those enslaved people, the songs were a way to communicate. The songs were a way to give each other hope. The songs were a way to unify. The songs were a way to be disobedient in a way that they could get away with. And I think that when I think about the history of protest music and the history of people using music to deal with something that seems so much greater and stronger than just singing, I think about that beginning of our history where people were singing in a way for their lives.
Yeah. No, it's an amazing point you just made. I think there's something about music that does bring people together. And that message in history with slave songs, throughout the years with civil rights, human rights now, like any type of message somehow can be made and can reach people differently and somehow even more powerfully through the medium of music.
And I think especially when you're talking about, you know, listen, who's going to march, right? Who are the members of Black Lives Matter? Who are going to take to the streets? I'll have to admit, as a 40-something, you know, I want to, and I do want to take more action, but I think the people more likely are going to be the younger people. And I think when we talk about some of the pop stars and hip-hop stars we're about to discuss, mm-hmm. they're a great way to directly inspire and direct and get in contact with a lot of the young people who are the ones who actually can take to the streets and protest and are the future leaders.
Yeah, no, I was saying this earlier, you know, to play off what we discussed last week, we were talking about creating a culture of idolizing these singers and actors, and the concept of celebrity is larger than life right now. And I think the young people in our country, it's something they strive for, they look up to. So last week we discussed Jennifer Aniston discussing how celebrities are put on a pedestal and scrutinized for personal decisions and for the way they look. And that may never change, but I do believe that there are some celebrities that are doing their part to steer the conversation to what is important and using their celebrity to raise awareness. And they're using that power. And I think that's so important. They are setting an example to the people that they know listen to them. And it's their time right now to set the right one.
And listen, you know this, Amita. You out there listening know this. I can kind of be cynical sometimes about certain things. And sometimes I have been cynical. I'm like, you wealthy, bodyguarded, limo to your next venue celebrities, what do you know about anything? I will say, though, that in the midst of all of these police shootings, all of this state-sanctioned murder, all of these terrorist acts, there I have received some comfort and inspiration from these very successful, very wealthy, very famous celebrities who, and let's talk about some of them. I think some of them are doing such a good job of speaking directly and honestly. And I feel like in some cases, they don't care how this affects their career. They don't care if it loses them some fans. It's awareness day. I feel like so many of them are saying, we are in a state of crisis. We've all got to do something. This is what I'm going to try to do.
Right. And I applaud them for it.
So I'd like to talk about one that just kind of popped up a few days ago, and it really affected me. So you've probably seen this on your Facebook feed on Twitter because it has gone viral. Wonderfully, it's gone viral. But it's Alicia Keys and We Are Here movement, and essentially it's about a 3-minute video. And the title and premise of the video is 23 Everyday Actions Punishable by Death If You're Black in America. And essentially, there are a long list of well-known actors and musicians who basically recite ways that you can die. And it's very straightforward and horrific things like running to the bathroom in your own home, selling CDs outside a store. And following each of these examples, there is a picture of someone who was murdered in that way. And I just found that out of everything that I've seen and read online recently, it was just very powerful. These celebrities, these people looking directly into camera, black and white, and delivering a sort of, like, Taraji P. Henson really got to me. She choked me up.
She choked up, yeah.
And so I think just as – I think for me it works on two levels, and I want to hear what you think about this. One, it raises awareness, and it reminds you, don't forget Tamir Rice. Don't forget Sandra Bland. We know that there are recent – murders, but don't forget these people who stirred you up a year ago or 10 years mm-hmm. ago. I love that about it. And I also love that it's not just something to look and to feel inspired by for 3 minutes. It takes you to a website where you sign a petition. And I mm-hmm. think there are plans for even longer, larger actions that we can take. But for right now, yes, it's a petition. What will it do? Hopefully a lot.
I agree. I think that was, I believe you shared it with me, but that video, it just stopped me in whatever I was doing. And it just, it was so powerful. And I signed that position. I did immediately. I said, yes, whatever this is, I need to be a part of this. I want to make my voice heard. This was so, it was so simple by just one celebrity saying one thing and then showing a photo. That is the simplest form of making a point, and they did it so well. I could talk about what everybody said. Yeah. Just watch it.
Yeah, we'll tweet it out. I'm sure you've seen it. Just go onto Facebook or Google search Alicia Keys We Are Here Movement. You'll find it, but we'll also tweet it out just so that you can find it on our Twitter feed as well.
Also featured in that video was Beyonce, and she also did something really amazing and powerful. The night after Philando Castile was shot, she performed in Glasgow in Scotland. And, you know, we discussed her song Freedom many times, especially her recent BET Awards performance. And such a powerful song. And it took a different meaning when she sang it in Glasgow. She sang the first verse a cappella, just standing on the stage, not moving, not dancing. And behind her, if anybody's gone to this concert, she has like this 70-foot video wall. And usually it has all these images or it has her on it. In this performance, it lit up with the names of hundreds of people who have been killed by police brutality. And at the bottom, it actually said, and countless more, because it couldn't fit them all on this huge screen. So moving, so powerful. And when you see how many names are on that screen, you will be horrified by it. She is, I was moved to tears by seeing that, because I really did enjoy that song, and her singing that with those names was just made such a statement and was really powerful. And I hope more people actually see that performance. She also released a statement, and she put it on her website, and it went around on the news outlets and stuff. And I thought that it was really, really bold of her to kind of just write her feelings and make it known, because she's one of the biggest stars in the world, and she knows that she can maybe affect, again, these young people who love her and follow her and obsess over her, and maybe she can touch some lives with an important message. I'd love to read just a little bit of it. She wrote, "These robberies of lives make us feel helpless and hopeless, but we have to believe that we are fighting for the rights of the next generation, for the young men and women who believe in good. This is a human fight, no matter your race, gender, or sexual orientation. This is a fight for anyone who feels marginalized, who is struggling for freedom or human rights. This is not a plea to all police officers, but toward any human being who fails to value life. The war on people of color and all minorities needs to be over. Fear is not an excuse. Hate will not win."
You know what I love about that? Because there's this whole back and forth about the phrase Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know what? It started so early after Black Lives Matter started. And you get a lot of people, and I'll call them some ignorant, some uninformed, some unwilling to be informed, who try to start the hashtag All Lives Matter and mm-hmm. Why Just Black Lives, not understanding that the reason behind this hashtag and this phrase is because for centuries in this country, Black lives were not treated as worthy or equal to white lives. Simple as that. We're mm-hmm. not saying that white lives don't matter. We are right. saying that we all need to be reminded that Black lives matter. Done. And I think the way that Beyonce wrote that says All Lives Matter without saying all lives matter. And right. listen, she'll use the Black Lives Matter hashtag, and she's mm-hmm. been very outspoken, and people have been really upset about some of the imagery in her videos.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a balance and a line that celebrities do have to walk, right? And I've noticed this, you know, Drake released a statement. You know, a lot of celebrities have released statements. And I said before that I'm very respectful and impressed by some of the celebrities who are not risking, who don't seem to fear risking their careers. I think when Kanye said George Bush doesn't care about black people, that was like a punch in the face for America.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I think when he said something direct like that, he was risking something. He was risking backlash. He was risking a lot.
Of course.
I don't know if I've heard anyone say something that direct and that controversial in these past few weeks. Have you?
Not in that way, no. Definitely not. I think the only person that comes to mind that I think we've also discussed, and that is ruffled feathers, and I don't know why, but that's my opinion, Jesse Williams, who has been so vocal about the Black Lives Matter movement, and his speech at the BET Awards got a lot of people talking, and people started to protest him and get him taken off of Grey's Anatomy. Like, why him speaking out about what he is passionate about and about an extremely important issue means he should lose his job makes no sense.
Yeah, I love Shonda Rhimes was like, yeah, right.
Right.
Have you watched my show? His job is fine. Everyone, yeah. Calm down.
Exactly. He's really extremely intelligent and extremely passionate. And he does his research and he knows what he's talking about. He didn't just, frankly, fly off the handle and just say George W. Bush doesn't care about black people like Kanye West did. So therefore, no, I don't think anybody has said something in the way that Kanye did. But I do feel like people are trying to speak out and make that point. And Jesse Williams is one of those people that I think is doing it well.
Yeah, I agree. And he's not a flash in the pan. He's been working as an activist for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And I get the feeling that his activist work – actually, I know this – that his activist work is much more important to him than playing Jackson Avery on Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And to jump to something that we also found out, that he is organizing an inaugural music festival called Many Rivers to Cross Festival. And it is centered around human rights. Harry Belafonte founded the organization behind this two-day event. And it's going to be the largest music and arts festival dedicated to social justice. Chris Rock, John Legend, Jesse Williams, Common, Dave Matthews, Carlos Santana, Estelle, Public Enemy. The list goes on and on and on.
I'm sure the list is going to continue to grow.
Completely.
You know what's interesting about the list of names that you mentioned? And this is something that we could discuss, perhaps. The Alicia Keys video, I think there was one white person in that video, mm-hmm. Pink.
But Adam Levine was in it.
Oh, Adam Levine. Okay. And so it's interesting. On one hand, one could say, as African-American people in this country, we are taking the lead on this. We got this. Mm. You can support us in some ways, but, you know, this is our movement. Not in a way of back off, leave us alone, but we've got this. We are going to speak for ourselves, for our people. So I just wanted to wonder about the behind the scenes. How mm-hmm. many, you know, was there an intent to invite just a few white celebrities? Were they white celebrities who had proven themselves to be outspoken about this issue previously?
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to me looking at, and I don't mind it. I think it feels right to me. I just wonder what the machinations behind the scenes were in terms of the racial balance of that video.
Mm-hmm.
But I think about this festival and yeah, my just even hearing Dave Matthews, who has a, you know, I went to a Dave Matthews concert once years ago. I was covering it for VH1, and I may have been the only black person in the crowd. But, you know, he has a predominantly white fan base.
Yes, I know that fan base very well. I've gone to multiple Dave Matthews concerts and felt
right.
a little out of place.
A little alone. But, listen, you can like whatever music you want to like. But I think it's interesting that this festival might be a little bit more diverse. It still seems predominantly people of color,
mm-hmm.
but definitely white allies, I guess you could call them.
Definitely. Definitely. And for those who want to know more information, it's going to take place October 1st and 2nd in Chattahoochee Hills, Georgia. And I'm sure there's going to be some website dedicated to it. It's called the Many Rivers to Cross Festival. So definitely look it up and check it out if you are interested.
Yeah, and I think that's an example of real organization. And Harry Belafonte in the press release talked about how he wants it to be a place where obviously they can raise money, but where artists and activists can connect. And mm-hmm. I think that's going to be important. And Harry Belafonte just has such a history mm-hmm. of being an activist. And I think he's a perfect example of someone who is a celebrity, but whose knowledge and activism gave him license to speak out on issues. When Harry Belafonte spoke out and speaks out on issues, you know it's coming from an informed place, not just a, I feel this way, so I'm going to say it.
Yeah,
so what a great, I love just the image of Harry Belafonte and Jesse Williams, who in some ways is becoming our generation's Harry Belafonte.
Yes. It's funny that you brought those two up because there was this incredible photo of them and it's Harry Belafonte holding a baton and Jesse Williams reaching to take it. It's so incredible. I'm sending it to you.
I love it. I love it. Earlier I was talking about how for some artists, it's just, I think, a personal response and an attempt for them to just deal with it. And there have been a few songs that have come out. My favorite, I think, has been by Miguel, who we talk about quite often in this podcast. Mm-hmm. But I think it was one night I had just turned off my TV because there was news about yet another police shooting. And I opened up my computer and on SoundCloud, there was a song Miguel posted, and basically he said, I just wrote, you know, I couldn't sleep. I wrote this. I'm sharing it with you. It will probably go through some versions, but just wanted to get these raw feelings out and share them with you guys.
No wonder how many black lives, how many black lives, how many heartbeats turned into flat lines.
I think it's a great song. I think the lyrics are very straightforward, but I think I just felt like I was in his skin. He was in my skin and he was going through what we were all going through. So I remember we were in Chicago when the news about Philando Castile and that horrible, horrible video surfaced. And the song made me feel like the torment that I was experiencing. Guess what? Not alone. Miguel's feeling it. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of people are feeling it also.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
My favorite line of this new song is, I'm tired of human lives turned into hashtags. How many black lives, how many heartbeats turned into flat lines?
Oh, just gives me chills just hearing you read that. Just beautifully, beautifully said. Powerfully, really. In another case of unfortunate violence, which we cannot forget about, is the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando a few weeks ago. And that shooting, I think, I don't want to say it's gotten lost in the fray with all of this police brutality and police shootings, but I do feel like that was such a ridiculously awful, tragic loss of 50 lives. And
the worst mass murder in United States history.
Yeah, and it was a gay nightclub, and predominantly the people attending were Latino. It was a huge, and they were all very young in their 20s. Such an awful loss, and such an unfortunate hate crime, to be completely honest. And Jennifer Lopez and Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote a song and put it out recently. 100% of the proceeds benefit the Somos Orlando initiative, which is addressing the long-term needs for the mental health services of the victims and their families of this tragedy. I think the song is uplifting, is beautiful. They performed it on the Today Show last week. They had some of the victims' families and survivors in the crowd. It was, you know, it was such a beautiful, beautiful performance. Please check it out if you get a chance.
What we got is love, even when the sinners hate us. We cannot let them diminish or intimidate us. We sing out, we got the rhythm and the truth on our side. We cut through the divide and we do it with pride. Love make the world go round.
Love make the world go round. The song is the truth, you know? It's that iconic Martin Luther King quote, you know, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. And a song like this to remind you that love makes the world go round, that hate cannot win. It definitely affected me.
Yeah. And again, you know, it's, and I feel like for me, it has been a battle of my cynicism for throughout these past few weeks, because sometimes I think, guess what? Hate won last week. Hate won yesterday. Hate's winning this mm-hmm. morning. And mm-hmm. it's tough to sometimes to hear those lyrics and believe it, but then I think maybe, and that's something that music does, yeah, hate does win sometimes. You know, innocent people get killed sometimes, but you know, if sometimes I feel like music creates the ideal world for us, right? It's the ideal love. Mm-hmm. It's the ideal, and I think what they're singing about is an ideal world, and that's when I can kind of take off my cynicism a little bit and say, you know what? Yes, what hate does win sometimes, quite often, too often. But what are we trying to strive for? What are we trying to achieve? A world where that doesn't happen, or it doesn't happen as often.
Right. It just came to me while you're saying it, but you know what you're saying. You were preaching the lyrics of John Lennon. You're preaching Imagine right now. And that was how long ago? You know, it was another important song in our history of social injustice and in human rights, you know?
Yeah, and I love the line, I think it's towards the end of the song where they sing, Lin-Manuel and Jennifer Lopez sing, we're not staying inside today, we're not taking our pride away. Mm-hmm. Again, it's like, we need mantras, right? Like, we need mantras. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes when fear takes hold, you know, I thought about, you know, the next concert I go to, I'm going to be a little bit more nervous. I'm definitely going to check for exits, and I'm definitely going to look at a few people suspiciously. And, you know, that's fear. And I think in this age of increased terrorism from all sides, try to banish the fear. I've always been impressed how people who live in places where that type of violence is more prevalent and more likely, they banish that fear. And they live those lyrics. We're not staying inside today. Literally, I'm going outside of my home right. to live my life. And I'm not feeling, and I'm not going to let anyone take my pride away. So it's hard, Amita. It's really hard. It's a hard world we're living in.
It's so hard. And I love what you said about, you know, kind of just making this a global thing. Yes, a lot of this has happened in America, but there is so much happening in the world as well. And, you know, what happened in Nice and in Turkey. There are so many countries in a volatile state around this world. But you're right. It is about kind of getting rid of that fear and just, I know I am the positive one. I know that everyone's just like, I look at the world maybe with rose-colored glasses. But you know what? I'd rather do that. I think that's more important. I'd rather see more people do that. And this is that time that we all need to love and spread love and not spread hate.
And that's why we're such good co-hosts, because we do balance that. But I think and I think it's that balance, because I think the Jennifer Lopez and Lin-Manuel Miranda song is not pie in the sky, but it is let's let love win, and it is very positive. I think you need songs like that, but then I think you also need songs that are angry and that are saying fuck the police when that's mm-hmm. an appropriate thing. And I think there needs to be, just like there need to be all types of voices in movements, there need to be all types of songs and responses to everything that's going on. So I agree mm-hmm. with you. You should please continue to be positive and look and hope for the best. And hopefully we all have reason to follow your lead on that.
And, you know, to kind of just sum all of this up, it's thanks to this handful and hopefully larger handfuls of celebrities and musicians and actors who speak out and create music and videos and anything that they can to motivate, move, unite, and just get people together for the right cause, for human rights. That is what this is about. And it's, you know, we have to make sure it doesn't end. We have to make sure that we don't forget it until the next time it happens. I'm guilty of it. I know I do it sometimes, but this is just, like you said, we are in a different world. We have to keep it in the conversation. We have to keep talking about it. We have to keep remembering the people who've lost their lives.
Yeah, and I hope that additional pop stars, actors, singers come out and help the cause and help awareness. I hope that the people who are currently involved continue being involved, because I think that is exactly what you said. Don't let it become a fad. Don't let these movements, and don't let your emotions, your anger, your hopefulness, don't let those become a fad either. It's about consistency. So yes, next week we'll probably go back to our regular format where we talk about fun movies and TV shows and music. But again, as we said earlier, it's a respite. It's a half hour bubble that we're using to keep our spirits up. And hopefully you're using that as well. Listen to our podcast. And listen, after we stop recording, Amita, I'm probably going to go turn on the news and hear what's going on, read some articles, yeah, and get depressed again. So
same here, yeah. Same here. But I think that's what, you know, entertainment is, that escape, you know, and I think that sometimes we need that escape in order to be able to deal with all of this violence and hate in the world. You just need to sometimes get away and escape. And I hope that being able to watch and engage with pop culture is somebody's escape, and hopefully listening to our podcast is as well, you know. And to go back to what we were saying, just be good to each other. Like, live by the golden rule. If you can at least do that, you're doing something good. You know, it's hard to think of what you can do as an individual in this world when so much is going on and everybody's got a song and everybody's got a charity and everybody's thing. Just be good. That's I live that way, and I try to do that every day. If you try to do that, you're doing better than the next guy who's not.
I love that. And then I would just add, you're not going to agree with everyone, but that's okay. Just try to respect the differences of people. You're not going to agree with everyone, and it's okay to have disagreement. Just respect, mutual respect.
So thank you. Thank you very much for listening to this special edition of Inside Pop. Please share your opinion on how you felt about what we've discussed, how you feel about pop culture artists responding to troubled times. Tweet us, Instagram us at Pop Insiders. Let us know how you're feeling. We are all feeling something, and we're all valid to have these feelings. So let's keep this discussion going.
We'll be back with another episode next week. We'll be back to discussing all of the movies, TV shows, and music that we think you need to know about and care about. So until then, please take care of yourself. Please take care of each other.